If heaven contained rooms, each 1 mile cube, it could contain 3,375,000,000 rooms. If we started with the time of Adam and spent 1 hour in each room, we would by now have visited less than one quarter of all the rooms. It's written by G.T. Haywood. Phenomenal, isn't it? Atheism teaches us that there is no God, and thus no heaven. And folks, that's no hope. Reincarnation teaches us that our life will be recycled into some higher or lower form of existence the next time around. That's no hope. Mormonism teaches us that we will live forever as gods with hundreds of spirit wives. And that's definitely no hope. The Bible. I would run from that religion as fast as I could. The Bible offers only one real hope. In Revelation 21, verse 2 and 3 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." You see, seeing Jesus face to face someday, folks, is my reason to keep running this Christian race. Amen? There is one hope, and there is also one Lord. Neither the Old or the New Testament uses the word Trinity or associates the word three or persons in any significant way with God. No passage says God is a holy two, holy three, or holy Trinity. But over 50 verses call God the Holy One. Isaiah 47, verse 4 says, "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel." You see, David prophetically spoke of Jesus using the term Holy One. And his prophecy was quoted and confirmed by both Peter in Acts 2:37 and Paul in Acts 13:35. Psalm 16:10 says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." During Jesus' earthly ministry, the demons recognized that he was the one true God manifest in the flesh. In Mark 1:23-24, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, art thou who thou art, the Holy One of God." This is the enemy speaking, the devil speaking. Paul lets us know that Jesus we serve today is the same God who created everything that exists in the beginning. In Colossians 1:14-19, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Colossians 2:9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Folks, we are not a Jesus-only church, but we are a Jesus-name church. Amen? The Bible says that there is one throne in heaven, and there is one that sits on the throne, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. The apostolic church is not built on Peter, but on the revelation that Peter received. Amen? This revelation of one God is the most powerful revelation in Scripture, because if there is only one God, then he deserves my total allegiance. Jesus called this the first of first or greatest commandment when he quoted the law of Moses. In Mark 12, 29 and 30, "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.'" There is one Lord. And there's also one faith. Sometimes in the Bible, it speaks simply of faith. But other times it speaks of the faith. It is not just indicating individual belief, but the entire body of truth that we believe about Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1:23, Paul preached the faith which once he destroyed. In 1 Timothy 1:2, Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1, you can depart from the faith. In 1 Timothy 5:8, you can deny the faith. In 1 Timothy 6:10, you can err from the faith. 2 Timothy 3:8, you can be reprobate concerning the faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13, stand fast in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Ephesians 4:13, come to the unity of the faith. Colossians 1:23, be grounded and settled in the faith. Colossians 2:7, be established in the faith. Titus 1:13, be sound in the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7, keep the faith. Jude 1:3, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, it does not matter what you believe. Not everyone is going to heaven. Not every church is right. Church shopping is not biblical. Find a church that preaches truth. Amen? You see, God makes the rules for his house, not us. Not you, not me. God makes the rules. There is one faith. And there's also one baptism. Baptism is not an option. There is no such thing in the Bible as a Christian who is not baptized. In John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Didn't sound like any maybes in that scripture to me, did you? You see, if you're not willing to be baptized the Bible way, you can't get into God's kingdom. The Bible says there's only one baptism. So if there is only one right way to be baptized, then you have to ask the question, well, what is that way? We must be immersed in water. Right? Jesus was baptized by immersion. Because every baptism in the Bible was by immersion. Because that's precisely what the word baptism means, is immersion. Amen? Because it is the best portrayal of burial and resurrection. We must be baptized in Jesus' name. That's the formula. In Jesus' name. Every baptism in Acts was performed in Jesus' name. The day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The Samaritans in Acts 8:16, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The house of Cornelius in Acts 10:48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. The disciples of John in Acts 19:5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Paul's baptism in Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The epistles teach baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3:27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Jesus is the only name with the power to save us. Amen. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One baptism. And this is a oneness church. Amen? This is a oneness church. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, this is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Amen. Amen. Let's stand here tonight. Any questions? Sometimes I book through these things, but I want you to know anytime if you have a question, raise your hand. Okay? As if nobody's raising their hand, I'm just plowing. Okay? Tilling up the ground. Amen. And I do this also by encouragement of my wife, who helps me be a better person. Amen. But folks, we have foundational stones, and there are certain things that we need to understand and we need to know. Let me tell you something, how important it is to know this and to understand it and to be very careful. I knew a man early in my ministry here in Cleveland. He knows the word. But he got fiddling around with some things on the internet and walked away from it. You better know what you believe. You better know it. And those people that work at the bank, folks, the reason they can catch counterfeit is because they know the real thing. Okay? You better know. And there's going to be times, I believe, it's on its way, folks. I believe in this is the end time. And let me tell you something, there's going to be some things coming at us. You better know what you believe. You better be committed. It would be a shame to live for God all these years and then under the pressure, give it all up and be lost for eternity. We need to understand what we believe and be convinced of it. Amen? Amen. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you just help us, each of us here tonight, God. Lord, God, to believe this with all of our heart, to be sold out to this, Lord. Your word says, buy the truth and sell it not. God, and I pray right now, God, that you'll help each of us here tonight, God, just to be committed with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Amen. You're dismissed. Greet one another.